Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. The Great Leveler is a nonfiction history and political economy book by Walter Scheidel that examines the long-term relationship between violence and economic inequality, drawing on evidence from ancient societies to the modern world. Scheidel argues that inequality is a durable feature of civilizations and that major reductions in inequality have usually followed extreme disruptions rather than gradual reform. The book is not a simple history of income gaps. It is a broad comparative study that uses historical examples, demographic shocks, and distributional data to test when and how societies become more equal. Its central purpose is to explain why inequality tends to persist, why peaceful redistribution is so difficult, and why the 20th century stands out as an exceptional period of compression. Written for readers interested in history, economics, and social theory, it combines a large historical sweep with a deliberately unsettling conclusion about the limits of reform. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, inequality as the default condition of settled civilization. Scheidel begins from the premise that economic inequality is not an accidental flaw of modern capitalism, but a recurring outcome of settled, agrarian civilization. Once societies adopted farming, accumulated surplus, and allowed property to be inherited, durable differences in wealth and power became easier to reproduce. This matters because the book challenges optimistic narratives that treat inequality as mainly a product of recent policy failure. Instead, it presents inequality as historically normal and deeply embedded in social organization. The argument is comparative, rather than anecdotal. Scheidel surveys different periods and regions to show that inequality appears whenever states, elites, and inherited assets stabilize. That framing shifts the reader away from asking why inequality exists only now and toward asking why it ever falls at all. In this sense, the book is less about one economy than about a structural pattern across civilizations, where prosperity and hierarchy tend to reinforce one another over time. Secondly, the Four Horsemen as the only proven mechanisms of major leveling. The most famous part of the book is Scheidel's account of the Four Horsemen of leveling: mass mobilization warfare, transformative revolution, state collapse, and catastrophic plague. He argues that these are the only historical forces that have consistently produced sharp and durable reductions in inequality. Each mechanism works by damaging elite wealth, disrupting inheritance, weakening institutions, or increasing the bargaining power of labor through scarcity. The point is not that violence is morally good or politically desirable, but that history repeatedly shows deep redistribution occurring when normal social order breaks down. This is what makes the argument so distinctive. Scheidel does not claim that every war or epidemic reduces inequality in the same way. Only that large-scale shocks can overturn entrenched distributions that peaceful politics rarely touch. His evidence ranges from ancient empires to the world wars, showing a pattern in which destruction compresses wealth and then peace allows inequality to rebuild. The book's thesis is therefore structural leveling is possible, but it is usually purchased through devastation. Thirdly, why reform, democracy, and growth usually produce only limited redistribution. A major implication of the book is that common reformist tools rarely generate large-scale equality on their own. Education, enfranchisement, land reform, social policy, and democratic governance may soften inequality at the margins. But Scheidel argues that they seldom dismantle wealth concentration in a deep or lasting way. This is an important challenge to policy arguments that assume inequality can be steadily managed through normal institutional improvement. The book suggests that elites often adapt to reform, preserving key advantages through control of assets, law, and political influence. Economic growth alone can also expand overall prosperity without narrowing distribution very much. By comparing many historical cases, Scheidel shows that societies often become more equal only when some external shock weakens the rich more than the poor. This gives the book a pessimistic but analytically clear policy implication: inequality is not self-correcting, and incremental measures may be too weak to overcome the inertia of accumulated wealth. Readers are pushed to distinguish between modest mitigation and true leveling. Fourthly, the 20th century as an exceptional compression of wealth and income. Scheidel treats the 20th century, especially the period from the World Wars through the post-war era, as a rare historical break from the usual pattern. Massive warfare, state intervention, revolutionary pressure, and the destruction of capital created unusually strong forces of compression in many countries. This is one reason the book is so attentive to the period, often described as the Great Compression. It shows that major drops in inequality were not the result of a single policy, but of an unusual convergence of shocks and political responses. After the disasters of war, states expanded taxation, welfare systems, and regulation, while weakened elites had less ability to resist redistribution. The book uses this period to illustrate both the possibility and fragility of leveling. Once stability returned, many societies saw inequality rise again. suggesting that compression was contingent rather than permanent. This historical contrast is crucial because it prevents the reader from mistaking an exceptional era for the normal direction of modern development. The 20th century is presented as a deviation produced by crisis, not as proof that inequality naturally declines over time. Lastly, the inequality frontier and the bleak limits of peaceful equalization. Another important concept in the book is the inequality frontier, the idea that societies have a theoretical upper limit to how unequal they can become, bounded by productivity and subsistence constraints. Scheidel uses this idea to explain why inequality can rise for long periods without reaching infinity, and why modern societies may still be far below the maximum extractive inequality possible. The frontier helps connect ancient and modern history by showing that the mechanisms of distribution operate within material limits, even when politics differ widely. At the same time, the concept underlines the book's bleak conclusion: if modern inequality has room to grow, it will not necessarily shrink on its own. In the absence of shocks, markets and institutions may allow elites to capture more of the gains from growth. That makes the book especially relevant to contemporary debates about taxation, globalization, and social stability. Scheidel does not offer a conventional reform program. Instead, he asks readers to confront how rare decisive equalization has been and how difficult it is to achieve without coercive disruption. In conclusion, The Great Leveler is best suited for readers who want a serious historical and analytical account of inequality, rather than a policy manifesto or a moral argument detached from evidence. Historians, economists, political scientists, and general readers interested in long-run social change will all find it useful, though it rewards patience and attention to large-scale comparison. Its practical value lies in forcing readers to rethink assumptions about progress, redistribution, and the power of gradual reform. Even when one disagrees with Scheidel's conclusions, the book sharpens the question of what actually reduces inequality and at what cost. What makes it stand out from many books on inequality is its historical breadth and its willingness to make an unsettling claim from that evidence peaceful societies rarely achieve: major leveling. Instead of focusing narrowly on one country, one policy regime, or one century, it follows inequality across thousands of years and multiple civilizations. That scope gives it unusual force. It is valuable precisely because it is unsentimental, comparative, and intellectually demanding. If you would like to support Walter Scheidel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.